Lane bench. There's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Here it goes. Put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, let's get to it. Happy Wednesday. We are underway on this Wednesday, March 19th. This hour of Flames Talk with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg, and this hour is the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And the text line is open to you at 960-960 this hour. If you're listening live, feel free to chime in. And I've got a feeling that this next topic, which I think will take up a good chunk of this hour of the program, it might get some people invested on the old text line. First of all, hello, Vix.
Hello, Patty. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I think so. Because earlier this week, I made a comment that caught your ear. And I was actually a little surprised as to, like, you're like, what, wait, excuse me? I was like, oh, I didn't know I said something super controversial. And you said, we got to get into this later on this
week. We're going to talk about this later.
And so I put that in the old back pocket. And I said, okay, well, let's choose a good time to do that. And on this Wednesday, I think it's a really good time to do so. I said, if I had a ballot, which neither of us do.
Correct.
We are not. Neither of us are part of the Professional Hockey Writers Association.
Blame them.
Or
down the road.
Or,
hypothetically,
or thank them for being selective with who they let in.
That too.
I had said that if I had a Calder Trophy ballot, that Dustin Wolf would unequivocally right now, that would have been on St. Patrick's Day, but on March 19th, I am still unequivocal that if I had a ballot, number one on it would be Dustin Wolf. You have five slots, and you rank your 1 through 5.
It's it's a 10 points for first, 7 for second, 5 for third, 3 points, 1 point.
And that's so the NHL will then take the ballots. They'll tabulate all of the points from the first place and so on and so forth. That's how Jerome Iginla lost the Hart Trophy because one person didn't have him in the five. He lost the Hart Trophy. You could have understood that person going Jose Theodore 1 and Jerome Iginla 2. Sure, Jerome still wins the Hart Trophy that year. But because that voter inexplicably and rather
controversially?
I would say somewhat surreptitiously and corruptively did not put the right player
on the ballot. It was by
design. It was very much by design. Jerome didn't win the Hart Trophy that year. Anyway, we digress. That has nothing to do with this conversation. But yes, Wolf would be my number one. You gave me the old side eye, and maybe you're not completely there. Now, don't spell out your entire argument as of yet, but is that you're not quite where I am, that you'd be unequivocal that Wolf would be your number one on the Calder ballot. Is that fair to say?
Let me defend myself before the text line gets to me. Dustin Wolf is far and away my number two. And I do believe there is a conversation to be had, which we will have, that he could be number one. I find it somewhat hilarious, not that this is the end all be all, but in terms of Calder odds, if you surf over to your favorite betting site, he is still plus 2,000 in some places to win the Calder.
Last one I saw was plus 800. Which is he plus 2,000? I want to go get on that.
They got to pay us money before I start name dropping.
I'll tell you
off the air.
I want to go get in on that.
Celebrini, for some reason, is the betting favorite at minus 225 at this particular establishment.
He's the betting favorite at every establishment. Is
okay.
Celebrini.
Lane Hutson is second at plus 225. He's the guy I'm going to rally around. And this is not to disparage Wolf. Wolf is very much in that first conversation.
Yeah.
But my guy is Lane Hutson.
Okay, so let me first lay out my argument for why I think Dustin Wolf should be the Calder Trophy winner in 2025. And again, things can change. There's still 15 games to go for Calgary. Other teams have more or less, but point is there's still lots of time left and lots of things that can happen. Montreal with Hudson has 15 games remaining. San Jose has 14 games to go with Macklin Celebrini. And I think that at this point, with no disrespect to Matvei Michkov and some of the other rookies who are doing nice things, I think it has turned into a three-horse race, and I would be stunned if the three finalists, when it's all said and done, are anything other than Celebrini, Hudson, and Wolf. So here is my case for Dustin Wolf. As a 23-year-old rookie goaltender, 23 is young for a goaltender. 23 is young for a goalie to be playing the type of minutes that Dustin is playing this year and to be making the type of impact he's making. Because, as we know, goalies of all the three positions typically are the position that takes the longest for a player to settle in and be what they are. And so for him to be doing this as a rookie, he's not just the best rookie goaltender in the NHL, which he is far and away, but he is classified with the cream of the crop goalies across the NHL. And here is my statistical backing for that. Just a few numbers that paint him very, very well. And I go a little bit deeper, or I'm going a little bit deeper, and I think at this stage, we know enough about goaltending now that typical goals against average, wins, losses, and raw save percentage are not the most telling of the stats and not the ones that tell you exactly how strong a goaltender is. But in that mark, goals against average is a useless stat. I don't even look at it anymore.
It's a team stat.
It is very much a team stat. But Dustin Wolf, when you're talking about his raw save percentage, is sitting at .912, which is 19th overall in 41 starts this year. But here's where things really start to get impressive. Dustin Wolf's 5-on-5 save percentage, which I believe is one of the more telling numbers that we have on the outside in terms of a goaltender's worth. 5-on-5 save percentage, .932, behind only Anthony Stolarz and Connor Hellebuck. He is in the mix and ahead of guys like Philip Gustafson, Logan Thompson, Andrei Vasilevsky. His high danger save percentage is 6th overall this year over at Natural Stat Trick at .847. His 5-on-5 high danger save percentage is .870. That is 2nd overall behind only Andrei Vasilevsky. Last week when we spoke to Kevin Woodley, our goaltending expert who has access to ClearSight Analytics, run by former NHL goaltender Steven Valiquette, that tracks every shot in the NHL and puts a weighting on it and adds in things like deflections and screens and post-to-post and all those types of things, adds even more context. The last chat I had with Kevin Woodley was on Friday when we were texting after our hit, and as of Friday, Dustin Wolf had the number one adjusted save percentage in the NHL, which counts for everything, and it's the one that our goalie guru Kevin Woodley uses all the time. Over at Evolving Hockey, Wolf has a wins above replacement or WAR of 4.7, second behind only Connor Hellebuck. His standings points above replacement, or the standing points that you can attribute solely to Dustin Wolf this year, by their metric is 8.9 points, so almost 9 points, or almost 5 full wins. Again, second behind Connor Hellebuck. Over at Money Puck, his goal saved above replacement is 15th overall at 14.3 goals saved above replacement. At 5-on-5, he has 21.5 goals saved above replacement, or expected rather, goals saved above expected. And that puts him 3rd overall behind only Connor Hellebuck and Logan Thompson. My point is, Vix, and I don't want to glaze you over as a listener with more numbers, because I know that can get somewhat taxing as a listener. The point is, Dustin Wolf, by metrics across the board, is not only in the conversation for the best rookie goaltender or a good goalie in the NHL, his metrics and some of the most telling metrics of the most bizarre position in sports have him with Andrei Vasilevsky and Logan Thompson and eventual Vezina Trophy winner Connor Hellebuck and Philip Gustafson and Anthony Stolarz and some of the best goaltenders playing hockey this year. And historically, Dustin Wolf is not only holding his own, but is right there and comparable with him. For me, Lane Hutson is not being compared to Cale Makar and is not being compared to Miro Heiskanen and the best defenseman in the NHL. He's having a hell of a year and a hell of a rookie season, but I don't think anybody is going to be like, oh, Lane Hutson or Quinn Hughes, which one? And Macklin Celebrini is having a hell of a year and at 18 is an incredible talent and may end up being more of a generational player than the guy who was taken first overall the year before in Connor Bedard. We'll see. But for Dustin Wolf to be in the same conversation with future Hall of Famer Andre Vasilevsky and future Hall of Famer Connor Hellebuck, and in some metrics better than those guys this year, as a rookie, to me, that makes it unequivocal in my mind. This is the best rookie in the NHL, and that's what the Calder Trophy is all about, and it is hard to equate the impact of a goalie compared to a defenseman, compared to a forward. There's a lot of subjectivity to it. I get that. But when I think about Dustin Wolf being put in the same conversation as the best of the best as a 23-year-old rookie, that's what does it for me. That's why he would be number one on my Calder Trophy ballot. And that does not change if they make or miss the playoffs this year.
It's a hell of an argument.
Woo!
I will not sit here and say you do not make a compelling case. I mean, to me, it's a very clear one, too. No disrespect to Celebrini.
And yet Celebrini
disrespect
feels like
Celebrini's
going to win it.
I don't know how he does. But that's why we're having this conversation. Let me hit you with Lane Hutson. And I will promise to do my best not to call him Cole Hutson. Because I get the brothers mixed up all the time. In terms of names, not in terms of where they are, obviously. Like Cole's nowhere near to touching the NHL the same way Lane is. Lane Hutson has 53 points on the season. You talk about Wolf being in the upper echelon. In terms of production, mm-hmm. Hutson has the 6th most points this season amongst all defenders, ahead of Josh Morrissey, Erik Karlsson, Adam Fox, Shea Theodore. There's some Norris winners in there. He has 48 assists this season. That's 4th most, behind only Makar, who you referenced, Werenski, and Quinn Hughes. That's elite company as is. Especially considering he was 20 for much of the season. He turned 21 in February, is a Valentine's Day birthday. That's much like being 23 in the NHL is young for a goalie. That's incredibly young for a defenseman and incredibly young for a defenseman playing more than 22 minutes a night. Should everything fall the way it has through the first portion of the season, Hutson is on pace for 65 points. Only 4 rookie defensemen in the past 50 years have had more, going back to 1974-75. Larry Murphy in 81, Brian Leetch in 89, Gary Suter in 86, Phil Housley in 83. Something about that 80s decade. I'm not sure what it was.
Which is pretty spectacular, knowing that those numbers were put up in the 80s and this guy is doing it in the 2020s.
So if he continues his pace, he would actually saw off with Ray Bourque, who also had 65 points in 79-80. That means no rookie defenseman, should Hutson hit that projection, has come into the league and produced more in 36 years. Mm-hmm. That's elite. If he never played another minute this season, if he just packed it in, it'd be the 15th most productive rookie season in NHL history. If you want to go just assists, Hutson's on pace for 59. Only Larry Murphy's 60 in the past 50 years is higher than that. Now, 50 years. That's a nice round stat.
Yeah.
I figured I'd go back there. 50 years seems to be a large sample size. Go over the past 108 years. Everything I said remains true. In the 108-year history of the NHL, Lane Hutson is on pace for the 5th most productive season by a rookie defenseman.
Even better than
yep.
Skipsy Jeppesen in 1909.
Yeah, funny you bring him up. 1909 would predate the NHL, for the record.
Yeah, it would. It's not good math, but I loved
it. So
Skipsy was awesome.
So literally in the history of the NHL, Murphy, Leetch, Suter, Housley are the only defensemen that are on that have had a more productive season than what Hutson is on pace for. If we're going to talk elite names, elite comparables, Lane Hutson is right up
there.
It's
a hell of a case, man. It really is. And it comes down to then who's the best rookie. And honestly, because You could make both Montreal and Calgary are exceeding expectations this year.
Yep.
Both Montreal and Calgary could be playoff teams when most on the outside didn't expect it. Montreal's in a playoff spot right now. And after that pretty thrilling win over Ottawa on Tuesday night, Calgary is on the outside looking in, but on points percentage is right there. And honestly, they're two back with a game in hand on Vancouver. So right now, the Flames are right in the mix, and so are the Blues, and so are the Canucks in the West, and Montreal is in a playoff spot, and they've got a point edge on New York in the East. So both guys have been vital to their teams. The Habs aren't where they are without Hudson. The Flames aren't where they are without Wolf. So, like, the who's more important to their team argument, which shouldn't be a part of it.
Wolf runs away with that 100,000%. In my mind,
so comes down to and this but is so, where it's subjective.
Well, but it's
who's
not
the
because
best rookie?
Because the Calder Trophy is, quote, presented annually to the player selected as the most proficient in his first year of competition. It doesn't say who's more valuable to the team.
Exactly.
It's not.
That's why
it's not a Hart award. If it was, if there was the Hart consideration for the Calder, Dustin Wolf far and away. There's not an argument I could make for Lane Hudson.
Well, I say what it comes down to is who's the best rookie. Not who's the best rookie compared to their team success, or where would the team be without him? Now, again, when you're talking about 200 different voters, everybody votes in slightly different, exactly, and has more important things. But like for me, it shouldn't matter if the Flames make or miss the playoffs.
Right. I agree.
And to me, it shouldn't matter if the Habs make or miss the playoffs, in terms of where you should put these two guys. Who's been the better rookie? Is what it comes down to. And both guys make significant cases. It is crazy that every betting spot has Celebrini as the... And again, no disrespect to Macklin Celebrini. He is having an incredible year. And I can't wait to see what this guy ends up doing over the course of his career. I can't wait to watch this guy in person two times a year at the Scotiabank Saddledome. He's not even the leading rookie scorer. And I know that Hudson has played 11 more games than Celebrini has. Celebrini's got 50 and 56, and the numbers that you laid out, Hudson's got 53 and 67. But again, are we? My pushback on all of it, before we get to the text line, and we'll read lots of text here, my pushback on all of it is, or where I keep falling back to is Celebrini being talked about right now in the same conversation as MacKinnon and McDavid and Kucherov and the best forwards in the NHL?
No.
Will he be down the road?
Yes.
Very likely. Are we talking about Lane Hudson in the same conversation as a rookie with Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes and Miro Heiskanen and those guys as the best defensemen in the NHL? Points-wise, yes.
Production, yes. 200-foot game, no.
Are we talking about Dustin Wolf with Andre Vasilevsky and Connor Hellebuck and Logan Thompson and the best goalies in the NHL? And right now the answer is yes. And that's always wins it for me.
But from a historical context, are we linking him with former NHL greats all time at their position and Wolf outpacing them? It's an apples to oranges kind of thing, but like,
who's the best goalie in the NHL today?
Hellebuck. I think.
I agree. And he's going to win the Vezina Trophy and should win the Vezina Trophy. And yet Dustin Wolf's numbers are right there with him, not all that far off. Who's the future Hall of Famer that could close his eyes and never win a thing again and be in the Hall of Fame that just happens to 10 net for the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Vasilevsky.
Andre Vasilevsky might be, like, in terms of generational goalies, he is, in my eyes, kind of what, and with no disrespect to some of the guys that, like, Quick and Thompson and that would be Tim Thomas, rather.
Thompson.
I'm trying to think of, like, who the Hellebuck and
Ryan
a few
Miller,
others.
Maybe? He wasn't quite at that echelon for me, but if you're trying to dip into the early...
Jonathan Quick. I'm just trying to think of, like, the goalies that have been parts of, like, really, really good teams over the last little while. Andre Vasilevsky is one of the, like, he has got to be Henrik Lundqvist. There's the other example.
Hank.
Like, it was Patrick Waugh, Marty Brodeur, like they,
Dominic Hasek.
And Dominic Hasek. That was like the Mount Rushmore of that era. Since that time, like Vasilevsky and Lundqvist is probably the guy in the middle. Vasilevsky is that next guy. It's a long way to make a point. Dustin Wolf's numbers are right there with Andre Vasilevsky. And we're not and I'm not even talking about them like historically. I'm talking about this season.
Yep.
Vasilevsky's one of the best. This season, Hellebuck's one of the best, and Wolf is right there with him.
Larry Murphy isn't one of the best defensemen in the NHL this season.
No, neither is Brian Leetch.
Neither is Brian Leetch. Neither is Gary Suter. But for just from, like, I can't get past, this is where we'll agree to disagree, I can't get past the historical context in which Lane Hutson is producing at a clip only seen by rookie defensemen in the high-octane 80s. Not before, not after. Nobody outside of that decade is scoring at a rate Hutson is as a rookie defenseman in the NHL.
Just going to go... quickly, before we read text, I just want to go back, and I don't even know if Natural Stat Trick keeps these.
And don't get me wrong. I do agree that there is some era adjustment that needs to be taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
I very much will be honest. I haven't done so. And I know you don't like regular save percentage. But Dustin Wolf's...
Not that I don't like
well,
it.
Well, Dustin Wolf's...
less.
See, now, I didn't tap Woodley, so I don't have era-adjusted... fancy goaltending stats, but since 05-06, minimum 40 games played, there were 16 other rookies who have posted a better save percentage than Wolf. And 16, I know you don't like goals against average as well, from this sort of context, 16 other rookie goalies that have posted a better goals against.
If you throw goals against average at me ever
expected
again,
goals?
Expected goals is fine.
I'm trying to do my best to make you look like Wes Gilbertson.
If you throw goals against average at me, not just Aaron Vickers, but anybody, if you throw goals against average again at me as a telling stat as a goaltender, I will just walk away. It is the least telling.
I can get you to leave?
You could.
Oh,
you could.
Keep that in my back pocket.
So when did Steve Mason win the Calder?
08-09?
08-09, I believe.
I think.
I'm just going back to... I should have...
I actually have it here somewhere. Just let me click my 19 tabs.
08-09. Okay.
Yep.
So Dustin Wolf is number 3-5 on five save percentage this year as a rookie goaltender. Guess where Steve Mason was?
14th.
26th.
How many teams were there? Was that a 30-team league?
No, that's minimum 500 goalies played, too.
500 minutes played, too.
Yeah, sorry. Tim Thomas, I hear, at a 944 5-on-5 save percentage.
That's a pretty good season, Timmy.
Tim Thomas was out of his mind for about 5 years. Like Dominic Hasek.
Like out of nowhere and then gone. Poof. I get what you're saying. I don't disagree with any argument you laid out for Dustin Wolf.
You just can't get past the Hutson
stuff. I just can't get past the historical context on Hutson.
All right, text line. Here we go. Dale. Winner Calder votes due. If the Flames lock up a playoff spot before voting closes and they did it on his back, he wins it. If they miss, I don't think he wins it. It's all done at the end of the season. Every team plays 82 games, then the votes get put in. This from Nathan. Dustin Wolf should and deserves it, but sadly, I think it'll be Celebrini. You know, the one thing I will say about Celebrini in this argument or debate or conversation is that he's doing it as an 18-year-old, and that can't be overlooked when having this conversation. And I know that forwards pop before, or typically pop before defensemen and goalies. Hutson's 21, but just turned 21.
Yes.
And Wolf is 23. So I do think voters will take that into account as well. I don't think they should. Again, I don't see anywhere on the... who's the best rookie based on his age? Like, I don't know. That's kind of silly. Like,
yeah.
Are you the best rookie in the NHL? Then you should win the Calder Trophy. I don't care if some guy's 5 years younger than you. But
again, what if they're 26?
is the debate around Dustin for Calder a simple bias for folks who watch the Flames regularly? Is there any talk around the league about what he's doing for the team out there? Yeah,
quite a bit, actually.
Yep, that's from Justin and Airdrie.
In fact, just linking Hutson and Wolf together because they just played last week. Montreal media was all around this Wolf for Calder thing, to be perfectly honest.
This says, knowing how much Eastern writers don't dial into Western players, how much did Wolf sewer his chances after the Toronto game? I still think he is deserving, but some of those writers that focus on Toronto and easy teams. I asked Frank Saravalli that question on Tuesday, and he said he doesn't think it will impact things. And if it does, then those people should have their votes revoked.
Well, and if anything, too, it's not like Calgary was playing the most sound game defensively in that. So, I mean, it might even work in his favor to a degree when you see the Calgary Flames not necessarily defending as well as they could. Not that that's all on the defense. Like, there were some that I imagine Wolf would want back as well, but it'll factor in one out of 50 if that's how many he plays.
Pat, who was the last goalie to win the Calder? That would be Steve Mason, who we just talked about. I also need to know this betting site with Wolf at plus 2,000. It's getting a hefty bet.
I would have to sign up for it. I only participate with one. I would have to sign up for this other one, which I'm not too keen to do, but I'll slide it to Patty in the break.
Kevin and Carstairs, I try to look at it this way. Put Dustin Wolf in Lane Hudson's shoes and remove them from the team. Do you think the team would be more impacted or less impacted in their current position with those players? So which players have the most impact on their team? I believe Lane Hudson has done a phenomenal job. I think he's going to be a great talent in the NHL and is, but I believe that his team would not be drastically affected if someone else was in his position. Unlike Dustin Wolf, who I feel has stolen games for Calgary, and Calgary would sit on the bottom of the league. And Calgary sits on the bottom of the league for goals. That points to the goalie's ability to win games. Can you say Lane Hudson had that same ability or effect on winning games for Montreal? And my answer would be no. The reason I stumbled through that, and Kevin apologizes, that was a voice to text. So I had to,
you had to piece it together on the fly,
selectively read on the fly, but I get what you're saying. Shub says, if only the Calder Trophy was awarded to the rookie deemed most valuable to their team, no question Wolf would win in that case.
Agree.
If one of the three makes the playoffs, I believe that puts the player over the top, which I don't think it should.
I don't think it should, but I think it will, to be perfectly honest.
This says, Vix, that's a compelling argument. I love Wolf, but Hudson has my vote. If we're talking proficient rookie season, he's in some lofty company. Isn't Wolf in lofty company too? This says, I feel like the tiebreaker for Calder is the fact Wolf is dragging the most flaccid offensive team in the NHL into playoff contention. It's not the heart, but I think you kind of have to at least consider it. And I think some will.
I think some will. I agree.
Ryan says, imagine if Makar would have played a full rookie season. Hudson wouldn't have sniffed those numbers. I believe he did play a full rookie season, didn't he? Just going back to look. He played 57. Oh, you know what it was? He didn't, because his rookie season was 19-20. And then it got shut down.
Got
he
cut,
had 50 and 57 as a rookie that year.
Whew.
Before things got... So he would have been... Yeah. He would have been in the... in the 75-point range as a rookie. This says... In Calgary, you're talking about Wolf with those names, but nowhere else in the country. In Montreal, they're talking about Hudson with those names, but not elsewhere in the country. Reading through our text, 960, 960. I love when the text line just decides not to read open text. This says, this is James. Vickers, you just said that Hudson is winning it on production, but not on his 200-foot game. Do you not think the 200-foot game needs to be taken into account?
I mean, I think it's important, but I think it's simply trumped by the fact that you get outside of that 1980 stretch and nobody has scored like this guy as a rookie defenseman in the NHL.
Somebody else
like
points
that,
out,
that trumps everything for me.
What about Makar and Hughes and their rookie season being cut short?
I mean, even if you want to go by points per game, I think he's in the top 12. Points per game is a little iffy for me, to be perfectly honest, because you still have to maintain that level of production as things continually ramp up. It's a valid point, but it still puts Lane Hudson in elite company.
Trevor in Sundance, after hearing those Hudson stats, there's no way he shouldn't win it. Too historic of a season. Sarah, our Canucks fan friend, says, yes, Wolf for Calder is true. Cody says, how about look at the fact Montreal is finishers and top-tier forwards. Calgary doesn't have anything spectacular. Vote should go to Wolf.
Hudson would actually just Hudson would be 12th by points per game ahead of Hughes. Makar would be third all time.
Third all time?
Yeah.
I have buddies in Ontario that are Leaf honks, and they're talking about Wolf for Calder. That comes from Colin. What else we got here at 960? Great discussion, guys. Very well done. Completely unrelated. That is, sorry. We'll get to that another time. I thought that was on topic. It wasn't. Is there a world where Dustin Wolf wins the Vezina, but not the Calder? I mean, I know he's not actually going to win the Vezina, but do you think something like that could ever happen? Because it seems that the Calder voting basically goes to the rookie with the most points. And it kind of has in recent years. If that's the case, it would be Hudson.
I do feel it'd be criminal if Wolf won the Vezina and not the Calder.
He's not going to win the Vezina. Connor Hellebuck has that sewed up and probably should. Cody in Calgary, if Wolf has been said to have won Flame several games above expectation, call it high end, he stole 10 points on his own. Take away those 10 points and the Flames are sitting 30th overall and fighting for a wild card spot. He deserves the Calder over Celebrini, as the Sharks are still likely in the same spot without him.
To me, that one speaks a little bit to the value of Wolf to the team, which again, I would not dispute if that was the interpretation of the Calder vote. It's likening it to the heart in terms of value to the team. To me, Wolf wins this hands down.
If you're starting a team, you're picking Celebrini, then Hudson, then Wolf. No way Wolf wins the Calder Trophy. That has nothing to do with it. Literally nothing to do with it. I go back to Connor McDavid didn't win the Calder Trophy, did he?
I don't think so, but he also missed what?
He got
games?
Hurt that year. I'm just trying to think who... I'm just going back to his rookie year. He had 48 points in 45 games that year. So that was 2015-16.
15-16?
Yeah.
So that was Panarin that won it that year.
So who would you rather have a team... Like Panarin or Panarin or McDavid? Who are you starting a team around? Panarin's a hell of a hockey player, but 1,000 out of 1,000 people... Even the most staunch Oilers haters would choose Connor McDavid. He didn't win the Calder Trophy. That means nothing. Who's going to be better in 10 years or who that has nothing to do
even
with
next
who
year.
Wins the Calder
Trophy. Even next year.
Zero.
Agree. What else we got?
What else we got here? Pat gets my rookie vote for his great hair and spectacular argument in Wolf's Corner.
Ouch.
Woo.
Ouch. That one, that has to be Wes.
No, that was from Cody.
Oh.
Chris in Edmonton, proficiency isn't just scoring, though. Defenders should have to include stats, not just on points produced. How can Hudson even be considered if his defensive game is not great? Defending is his job, so how can he really be a contender?
Because he spends most of his time in the offensive zone, clearly.
It's kind of the Erik Karlsson conversation.
Yeah.
Karlsson won some Norris.
How can he win the Norris?
The Calder is supposed to be awarded to the rookie player that is most proficient in their role in their first season. I'm having trouble figuring out how people would not be looking at Wolf, considering he arguably plays the most important position out of everybody that we're actually talking about.
It doesn't actually specify in their role. It's just to the player selected as most proficient in his first year of competition.
And finally, Ryan in Calgary, does Wolf's 1A, 1B status disrupt his chance of winning the Calder as Hudson is an every game player?
I guess my...
And I think it might to some voters.
My flip side argument is Wolf plays 60 minutes and Hudson plays 22 and a half.
Also fair. Here's as we wrap up this conversation, that was great. It was better than I even thought it was going to be. So thank you on the text line. Hell of an argument on your side.
You as well. I got a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. You started tossing out Woodley stats, and I started shaking a little bit.
Here is how I will wrap it up. I don't know who's going to win the Calder Trophy because there are 200 voters from 32 different markets that will impact who wins the Calder Trophy. So I can't, especially this year when it is very close between those three. Like, betting odds are usually a pretty good indicator of how things are going. And this is a very close vote. And I don't know which way it's going to go. All we can do is give you our opinion if we had our votes. Vickers does not have a vote. Steinberg, me, I do not have a vote. However, I can tell you that if I had a ballot right now, unequivocally, it would go Wolf 1, Hudson 2, Celebrini 3. And you would be almost the same, but you go Hudson 1, Wolf 2, Celebrini 3.
Correct.
Let's see how it shakes out. There's still 15 games to go for each guy, 14 more to go for Celebrini.
That's important to keep in mind, cool, too. That's though. Still, what, 18% of the season to go?
Yeah.
16, somewhere in there. Somewhere not great range. At math, especially on the fly. So there's still a significant chunk of hockey to be played.
What's your final number?
My final number?
In terms of how much is left?
17.
18.3.
Not bad. I'll take it. That was the first number I tossed out.
First Flames player that has legitimately been in the Calder conversation since Johnny in 2015 when he finished third in Calder voting, which that year he finished behind winner Aaron Ekblad and runner-up Mark Stone, and Johnny Gaudreau was third in Calder voting that year.
Where was Matthew Tkachuk? Do you happen to have that handy?
I don't.
Was he floating around there?
He might have been. He might have been like he might have gotten votes, but he was not a finalist when it was all said and done.
Fair enough.
Cam just told me he was seventh in voting that year for the Calder.
Thank you, Cam.
Well done. Okay, Steinberg and Vickers, that was a lot of fun. Thanks for all the input on the text line as well. I figured that might light things up at 960-960. This hour of Flames Talk, coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, not a ton of time left because our Dustin Wolf Calder Trophy conversation, as expected, took up a big chunk of our first hour on the program, or the first part of the hour on the program, rather, on this hour. It's Steinberg and Vickers. So this Western Conference playoff race, not getting any easier to call, is it?
No. I was like, is that a rhetorical question or do I need to jump in here?
Last night, Tuesday night, Flames beat the Rangers. Blues beat up on the Preds. Canucks beat up on the Jets. And Utah gets pounded by the Oilers. So that's how it ends up going. Three of the teams in the race win, one lose. By standings or by points, it's Vancouver at 75 points and 68 games played. St. Louis, 75 points in 69 games played. Flames, two back, 73 points with a game in hand on Vancouver and two in hand on St. Louis. And now Utah, four back, even games played on Vancouver, game in hand on St. Louis, and one more played than the Flames. That's how it looks in the standings. Updated, are you ready for the updated numbers?
Hit me.
Or the updated odds? So Money Puck does their playoff projections. And Hockey Reference does their playoff projections, and they have the same order, slightly different percentages, but both models, both Money Puck and Hockey Reference, love the Red Hot Blues right now. Money Puck has the Blues at 44.4% to make the playoffs, followed by Vancouver at 34.7%, Calgary at 17.8%, and Utah at 12.9%. And then Hockey Ref has the same order, but St. Louis is 40.6% instead of 44.4. Vancouver is 32.9% on Hockey Ref instead of 34.7, so a little lower. Calgary's actually higher at Hockey Ref than they are at Money Puck. Flames are 23.9% at Hockey Reference, 17.8 as we said at Money Puck, and then Utah last at 8.3%. So both of these projections or these models, the way they run their algorithms, love St. Louis, 44.4% and 40.6%. And the Blues are rolling. Give them a ton of credit. Under Jim Montgomery, they've played really well. Since the Four Nations, Jordan Binnington looks like Stanley Cup winning Jordan Binnington. They're doing this all without Colton Parayko, but Kyrou's been good. Like, the Blues are rolling right now. And even though they've got the fewest games left, they've got 13 compared to 14 and 15 games for the other teams. They've got the least runway, but the most rest and the easiest schedule, which I think is why one of the reasons why the model loves them or these models love them the way they do.
I really think that this comes down to game 82, whether it's the Flames in game 82, whether it's the Blues, whoever it happens to be. But like, I understand the St. Louis love here that they're giving because we've talked a lot about one of these four teams has to go on a run. Well, St. Louis had to go on their run a little earlier. if they're able to sustain it, they're the ones that are playing the best hockey right now. You look at Vancouver, they've got 10 points in their past 10 games. The Flames have 9 in their past 10. Utah actually has 12 in their past 10, so they're gaining a little bit of ground. The Blues, though, 15, 7-2-1. They've won 7 of their past 10 and pushed one more to overtime. They're on a 3-game winning streak. I'm very curious about these St. Louis Blues. You mentioned Parayko. I thought heading into, if I would have given the Blues the least chance of the four in and around the trade deadline, just because they were rumored to be sellers. There was lots of talk about Braden Schenn leaving and a couple other key veterans. You lose Parayko, who's your number one defenseman, but they've still managed to find a way. And to me, this is going to be whichever team manages to play in and around that 6 to 625 to 650 points percentage range is going to be the team that takes it. Right now, the inside track for that, based on what we've seen post Four Nations, points to the St. Louis Blues.
Most talented group is Vancouver.
Agreed.
In my eyes, and obviously yours as well. I like seeing through your eyes.
You like seeing through my eyes?
I'm not gonna add on to it because
nor should you.
It's gonna get super weird. But with Pettersson and Hughes and maybe Demko coming back and Besser not getting traded, I think Vancouver is the most talented of the group.
On paper.
Yeah, on paper. Utah would be next, but they're having a hard time putting it together.
There's something about them that I still find to be a little plucky. Like, I'm not willing to write them off. Yes, they're 4 points back right now. They don't have any games at hand in hand. I am curious about them. I still feel like they can go on a run.
Of the group, who's got the best goaltending? Maybe that's the wrong question. We just talked about Wolf and the Calder Trophy, but right now, whose goaltending do you feel best about between now and the end of the season? That's maybe the better way to frame it.
Ooh, that's tricky because I want to point to Binnington, but you laid out a very compelling case, Wolf, for Calder. And even sprinkling in Dan Vladar, post Four Nations, he's got a 920 save percentage. So even when you're not going to Wolf, right now, you've got a reliable 1B or number 2 in Calgary. Binnington just won the Four Nations. He's won the Cup before. Like, it's hard to bet against guys that have gone out and done it at that level. So if I were to rank situations, 1A, 1B, St. Louis, Calgary, 3, Vancouver.
What if Demko comes back?
If he's the Demko he was, and I mean, changes everything.
You talked to Kevin Woodley, right? And Demko was back to Demko between injuries. the most recent stint between injuries.
Demko was Demkoing when he was Demko. And then he Demko'd out of the lineup.
This guy's never going to be, this guy will never be healthy again, it feels like.
Well, I mean, there's a reason they signed Lankin into that contract.
Yeah, they know.
They fully understand the situation. Like, that is the biggest wild card of this sort of chase, I think, is if and when Demko comes back, and if and when he gets back at the level he can play, I think that's a game changer for Vancouver.
Well, interestingly enough, on Thursday night, you know who Vancouver plays?
Yeah, St. Louis. That's a 3-point game. Mark it down.
No.
It's going to overtime.
You bite your flipping tongue over there.
Hey, let's just roll back my predictions for the last 2 weeks. I'm 0 for a million.
Are you really?
Oh, probably.
Yes, that is a game in St. Louis at 5:30 on 5:30 on Thursday night. So the Flames will not be in a playoff spot at the end of Thursday, guaranteed.
Regardless.
Because one of Vancouver or St. Louis will still be holding down a playoff spot because they play one another. Calgary's in New Jersey, and Utah's at home to Buffalo. I'll tell you what, if Utah loses to Buffalo on home ice,
that's a wrap.
You can basically wave the white flag on them. But one of Vancouver or St. Louis guaranteed to get points on Thursday, hopefully just one if you're the Flames. And I do... Wrong to say Minnesota and LA probably out of reach at this point.
I feel like it, 81 points apiece. They would have to go on significant skids in order for two of the Canucks, Blues, Flames, or Utah to qualify.
Flames are 8 back of LA, for that third spot in the Pacific. And that's with one game in hand. And they are one game in hand on Minnesota. Sorry, one more game played than LA. The Kings have the one game in hand. They've got the game in hand on Minnesota, also 8 points back. Just, I think they're I think realistically, it comes down Vancouver, St. Louis, Calgary, Utah are fighting for one spot. I don't think Minnesota or Los Angeles are going to ultimately be reeled in.
Well, to put this into perspective, the Flames are 8 back of LA and Minnesota, like you laid out. The Anaheim Ducks are at 66 points, so they're only 7 back of the Flames, just for context.
Yeah.
I don't think this isn't me suggesting that Anaheim's going to elevate and suddenly become a part of this playoff picture. Just the gap, the difference between Anaheim and the Flames and the Flames and Wild/Kings are comparable.
Okay, that was a fun hour. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. Thanks to Cam and Taylor, our producers this hour. And this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.